too many steps.
So many steps.
Kiss, man.
No, but that is, it's...
Keep it simple, Sheely.
It's... Yeah, I'm going to put that on a t-shirt.
Welcome to episode 24 of the I Brew My Own Coffee podcast, a podcast for people who care about coffee. I'm Brian Beike, and joining me on the podcast tonight, as always, my co-host, the king of color commentary, and I'm not just talking about his Instagram backgrounds, Brian Sheely.
Burn. That's awesome.
Oh, man.
I just went to the art store yesterday.
Did you get some good art there?
Literally just tons of art. No, it's I stood in front of this giant rack of poster board, like the rainbow spectrum poster board. I just about passed out. It was pretty amazing. So I literally bought like 25 sheets of poster board for Instagram.
You should say hello to your guests on the air. You didn't even say hello. You just started talking.
Oh.
Say hello. Hello, podcast land.
How's it going?
I think we're all doing well.
Fantastic.
And now everyone's like, I'm going to pause this and drive to Target.
Exactly. Oh, man.
All right, man. So it's been a little bit since we talked. And by a little bit, I mean, I don't know, our regular schedule, 2 weeks or
yeah, week 2 weeks, or so. Right?
So what's been tasting good in your house?
I did have a pretty amazing cup recently from Sunergas Coffee. I've never actually pronounced their name out loud before. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it.
It's not.
How do you pronounce their name?
It's Sunergas, yeah.
Sunergas, yeah. Okay, well, there you go. So I had their Hartman Estate natural processed coffee from Panama, and I really enjoyed it. It actually was, it was one of the first coffees I was tinkering around with on my new cone, which is from Able Brewing, the cone. I've been tinkering around with that and brewed up a cup the other day that was really balanced, really just super sweet. And the notes on it, I think it was like strawberry rhubarb was their notes. I'm not really super familiar with rhubarb, but I definitely got the strawberry from it. And there was this almost like winey sort of grape juice like thing going on. Smooth, creamy body, and kind of had a milk chocolatey finish to it that I really enjoyed on the cone. And I'm starting to see that the cone really does some interesting things with the body of a coffee, just being a non-paper filtration.
Right.
And it's been super cool just to see how it changes coffees. I brewed it on the V60, but I think my favorite brew of this Hartman Natural was on the cone.
I think what's neat about the cone brewer is, I don't know what it is about it, but I feel like it makes just about any coffee you put in there more of a drinker's coffee.
Yeah.
Kind of like you were saying, you know, it's for some reason, I usually, whenever I make a cup in the cone, I put it in one of my big diner mugs. It's just what I usually drink out of when I make a cone. And so when I normally would do out of a smaller vessel, and I usually just sip on it for a while.
Yeah, they're just super, like, you know, sometimes you'll brew a cup and, or, well, you know, whatever size batch that you brew, and you might not ever get to the end of it. Like, that happens to me a lot. Like, I won't make it all the way through. I feel like almost every time I've made a cone so far, I always get down to the very bottom. Just because it's easy to drink on for the day. So how about you? What you brewing?
I got in a coffee from Coffee Supreme, which is, I guess they roast both in Melbourne, Australia, and also in New Zealand. Hmm. I think the one that is orderable for US is in New Zealand, but it was a Honduras and it was a Yira. So it was a little micro lot, I believe, a pot. I don't know if it's pache or what you describe the varietal, but an awesome coffee. So my brew that I really dug of it was on the V60. I've mentioned that before, that I've been kind of jiving on those a lot lately. But it's one of the better cups of coffee I've had all year long. Hmm. So it was really, really balanced. And so immediately it kind of reminded me of a micro lot Colombian in that manner. So it was kind of creamy. It was honeyed. It was caramely. And then there were elements of it that were a little bit sweet, fruited, and berry. And it was nuanced with a lot of different elements, whether it be spice or almond nuttiness or a little bit of herbal. But all that being said, the thing I love the most about it is just at its core, in all those little, there's all these nuances that kind of surround what is just a big, juicy, it was just a really sweet cup of coffee. And in that, it was balanced. So it wasn't lopsidedly sweet like Ethiopians can be or anything like that. It was clean, it was smooth, and it was sweet and balanced. And it was just it's a solid coffee. I still have some of it left. So it got to me really fast. I think right now it's not even 10 days off roast yet.
Wow.
So I got it within 48 hours of roast.
Oh, man.
So yeah, like they roasted on Monday, whatever time they roasted on Monday. I think my wife messaged me and said that it had arrived at like 11 o'clock in the morning. So
it's just crazy. International shipping is bananas to me.
Yeah. I'll definitely be ordering more from them. It's something I've tried them once before, and I tried them in a shop before, and it's a roaster I don't have a lot of experience with, but yeah. I like their branding.
The branding is amazing.
To try their coffees more.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, that's a coffee I've been really enjoying.
Sounds good. So we had some interesting listener feedback from our last episode. We talked about tasting notes and describing coffee with Seth Mills from Misto Box Coffee. And I felt like we had some really good discussions after that episode.
Yeah, and it seems like the general response was that it was really helpful to a lot of people just to kind of hear, you know, some of the things that were talked about on that episode.
I found for myself, honestly, like, I was just captivated listening to it as we were recording. I mean, you know, it's a lot of practical tips and things even for me and hopefully for a lot of other people that Seth was able to give us a lot of good perspective too on how to approach discussing coffee and describing coffee and whether or not we should even be doing it at all. And some notable friends of ours across the interwebs have also, who are definitely coffee enthusiasts, seemed like they also enjoyed it. I know we had a good discussion over Twitter with Drew about, you know, how maybe it changed the way he thought about how to describe coffees as well.
We're talking about Drew Moody from Table in the Corner of the Cafe blog.
Yes.
So tonight's topic. We are we're starting a series of podcasts that will go over the next few weeks, and it's called It's Not Just Coffee.
I thought it was just about the coffee.
It's not just coffee.
You're pulling my leg, man.
Hashtag It's Not Just Coffee. So, and to some people, this might be yeah, of course. But sometimes I feel like it's hard to see that there is more to this than coffee. I think it's about how you approach it and how you balance it with the rest of your life, no matter if you're a beginner, an enthusiast, or a professional. So with that being said, we're going to break apart the next three podcasts, and we're going to talk about, on this podcast specifically, we're talking about finding balance for the beginning brewer. So making time for and developing a coffee routine. So then we're going to continue with that, and we're going to be talking about balance for the coffee enthusiast, which is keeping the pursuit of the latest and greatest in check and remembering the simple enjoyment of coffee. And then part three, we're going to close out that series with balance for the coffee professional. So keeping the passion alive and continuing personal growth. And then after that, we're going to have a really cool discussion about how a lot of those things play off of each other and how those different levels that we see, they kind of weave in and out of each other. And there's ways that they learn from each other and grow and bounce off each other and how linked they are. So again, tonight we are talking about finding balance for the beginning brewer. So we're not necessarily saying that what you're going to hear is not applicable on all levels. And we're not going to say that this is just for people who are ignorant about coffee.
Yeah, we all had to start somewhere. I mean, you know, I remember, I know you and I have talked about like kind of our beginnings in coffee.
Right.
But man, like whether you're an enthusiast or whether you're a professional, like we all started somewhere here. And, you know, we all started developing these habits and developing an appreciation for coffee over time, you know, and even for those of our listenership who are just getting started in coffee, like I feel like there is a real opportunity for you to develop a really balanced view of coffee and incorporating into your life without having it take over everything and, you know, without being overly consumed by it.
Right. And so we're going to kind of highlight and address some of the problems that we see kind of at this level, and then some ways that we can mitigate that to make it a more balanced experience for anyone who might be at this level.
For me, like getting started in coffee, it was about really, I think, finding time for a regular coffee routine. I had a real hard time when I was getting started and, you know, making coffee, even though I was working at a coffee shop. I was actually working at Starbucks at the time, but I found it very hard to develop a regular routine of making coffee or enjoying coffee on my own at home. And I know a lot of people who are just getting started, they might be looking for convenience. So developing some kind of routine or habit to make coffee on a regular basis at home might be something that you struggle with as a beginner if you are getting started. If the barrier to entry to coffee is too high, people are just going to stick with a K-cup machine. Or they're just going to, I mean, we dog on K-cup machines all the time, man. People are just going to stick with something that is maybe lesser of an experience if they feel like it's too fussy. So we'll talk about ways to keep it from being too fussy.
I think another problem that a lot of people might have is looking for guidance on getting started, or where to find the guidance, or just needing assistance in taking that next step or knowing where to go or what to do when it comes to their journey with coffee and getting to the next step.
Well, and it's easy to get overwhelmed too when you're just getting started. There's so much information out there and there's so much, you know, choice in terms of coffees that are out there, or, you know, sources of information that are out there. You know, it's hard sometimes to narrow down and identify, you know, one source of reliable and credible information that you can go to.
And not even about one source. Like,
yeah,
you and I, we're both on social media. Sure. So we follow a lot of coffee roasters. And so we know what it's like when multiple roasters come out with new coffees.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
Let's just talk about that specifically. So there's a whole array of coffees that come out and you're just kind of like, whoa, look at all this stuff. Even if you disregard it and you just followed one, let's even take Heart, for example,
mm-hmm.
right? The same thing happens just with one source,
yeah.
Right? And you'd be like, oh, there are six different washed Ethiopians I could drink right now?
Yeah.
What do I do with that information?
And it's so easy to get overwhelmed by stuff like that. And, you know, especially, you know, you and I in looking at it can even get overwhelmed. But I mean, even think about it from the perspective of just a beginner getting started with coffee, who having no idea, like their experience with coffee has only ever been the grocery store aisle. And now they're looking around and maybe looking into other roasters. Maybe they go search on Twitter. Maybe they look on Instagram for guidance. Wow. I mean, the amount of information that's out there and the amount of coffees that are out there is insane. It's crazy.
And the benefit that you and I would have, or, you know, some of our other listeners would have, isn't necessarily that we're further along in any sort of way of understanding, as much as it is that perhaps we've tried the roaster before, or perhaps we know of the region of coffee that's out there. And so we might have a little bit more information that we've gained to help us, you know, pick out what might be our next selection and what might not.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily about belittling somebody, you know, when we're talking about the beginner here, which I just want to make sure to stress that, you know, for anyone listening here, that it's nothing about, you know, a stature thing as much as it is that as a beginner, you just might not have as much information as you could have, you know, as you grow your coffee journey.
Sure. And everybody's totally got to start somewhere. And, you know, that journey started for almost everybody listening to this podcast at some level. If you enjoy coffee and are drinking coffee, you have begun your journey at some point.
And aside, yeah, if you're listening to a podcast,
yeah, exactly,
about coffee, we're on episode 24 now. If you've listened to the backlog of this episode about coffee, you know,
yeah,
then
you're probably,
you definitely
probably
have
pretty
a,
deep
an
down
interest
the rabbit hole
in
now.
Coffee. So, but that brings us to another part. It's not even necessarily being overwhelmed with coffee choices.
Oh,
it's being overwhelmed with how do you move forward in the desire to brew possibly on your own or to acquire products that might help you make coffee better.
Yeah, we talked to Steve Reinhart just recently with across two episodes all about manual brewing and all the different equipment that's out there. And we didn't even get into automatic brewers and espresso. I mean, we didn't even touch on a whole variety of different products that are out there. I mean, the amount of gear that is currently available to people is just, again, is crazy. So
right.
Definitely easy for people to get overwhelmed, I'm sure, looking around at where to start.
And I think one of the last problems, which could actually be one of the first problems, something that I think could be very difficult for somebody in all of this is really not having a good idea of what they want or even what they like. And this could be in terms of the gear and what type of coffee experience it's going to provide, but probably more so the type of coffee that they're going to be selecting.
Right.
And that's not to say they can't explore and try a bunch of new things. You know, that's what I've done. I've enjoyed it. But for somebody to know that they've got something that they understand, and they understand as a taste profile that they might enjoy, they might not know what they're looking for.
Yeah. So with all these problems that a beginner might face sort of starting out in coffee and getting familiarized with coffee, really finding a balance in their relationship with coffee, yeah, I think it's important for us maybe to stop and pause for a minute and talk about what are we talking about as like the ideal for somebody who's getting started, somebody who's beginning their coffee journey. Like where would you want to be if you were getting started in your journey with coffee? And I think it's somebody, obviously we recognize a beginner is going to be somebody who doesn't know everything, doesn't really have an idea necessarily of, you know, all the different regions of coffee. Maybe they don't know about what, you know, the altitude or the varieties of coffee are. But there's somebody who is willing and interested in learning. They're curious. They're looking around for information. They've got a potential, really, of being totally overwhelmed by all the stuff that's out there, you know. But they stop and they recognize that they don't have to know everything. They don't have to master everything. They don't need every brew method in the whole entire world, but they just want to learn.
And they're willing to make time to learn.
And they're they're willing to make time to learn. And I think that's a big piece of it is somebody who's getting started in coffee. This is where they start. Or this is where they should start, I think, to really begin this journey well. Don't get overwhelmed. Just understand that, you know, take a little bit of time, carve out a little piece of your day for coffee, and again, keep that in balance.
When we're talking about this series and talking about beginners and then talking about enthusiasts and talking about professionals, and I think we've mentioned it before already just a little bit ago, but everyone started somewhere at this level. So there's no reason to get discouraged if you feel overwhelmed, or there's no reason to get discouraged about all the information that's there. It's all about, you know, your journey and filtering all that stuff down. And specifically what we're talking about tonight, it's probably good to start forming a balance in your life with this, you know. And we're not necessarily saying, oh, this is how you carve a place out for coffee. No. Like I don't want to make it about carving a place out for coffee. I want to make it that if this is something you're interested in, keeping it in check with life and keeping it in check with things that I would say are more important.
Because it's not just coffee, right?
Because it's not just coffee. this is all surrounding, a lot of people now, they say the community. And I'm not even talking about the coffee community or anything like that. I'm talking about when you're going to meet somebody at a shop and you're having conversation, or when, kind of things that we talked about with Andrew from Populous Coffee about just experiences with people and making memories. And just the fact that, I mean, even you and I, we have a family and we have kids, and those things are ultimately more important than, drinking a cup of coffee.
A coffee enthusiast is going to spend way more time thinking about coffee than anybody else, aside from a professional who gets paid to think about coffee all day long.
Right.
Somebody getting started as a beginner, they might be lucky to, squeeze out a French press before they leave for work in the morning. They might be lucky just to swing by a shop and stand in line and wait for somebody to make them a beverage before they go in. Right. So, we're not really saying here that a beginner has to aspire in some way to become a coffee enthusiast. But it is just sort of thinking more about coffee, taking a little bit more time to pay attention to coffee. And obviously, I think a beginner doesn't have necessarily a challenge, balancing family life and all that other stuff with coffee. That's kind of what you and I struggle with as coffee enthusiasts. But if you are getting started in coffee, maybe focus a little more attention on it than previously, than you ever had previously. Because I guarantee you, if you don't focus a lot on coffee and you don't really think about it very much, you're probably not enjoying the experience very much. With just a little bit more time and attention, you could enjoy that experience of coffee every day a whole lot more. And it doesn't take, thousands of dollars of equipment and years of research and study. It can be pretty simple.
And that's probably what we should talk about next.
Yeah.
It's just how simple that could be.
I don't think it has to be hard.
It doesn't.
I mean, and I'm not necessarily saying here that a beginner has to go out and buy a $700 burr grinder. We talked to Steve on that episode about manual brewing, about all the different options that are out there for getting gear and equipment. I think it's easy enough for somebody to just go out and buy good quality coffee from a local roaster or even from somewhere that they trust online, and buy a relatively inexpensive and easily repeatable brew method, even if that's like an automatic machine, and just start making more time for coffee.
Right. That's what I did at my old office. We just had an automatic maker and we used a blade grinder, and I think it did limit the experience that we had, but it had me exploring what better coffee could taste like. And I mean, we've had some of the interaction with people on Instagram and Twitter, mentioning coffees that they've gotten in that we've talked about on the show, or just a coffee that they've gotten in from a subscription or something like that they've brewed on their, couple of dollar plastic filter cone that they picked up at their grocery store or something like that, with really great results.
Right.
And it's a lot of times, a lot of those generic things, they're pretty similar. If we want to strip away all of the differences to them, it's something that holds a filter, which holds the coffee, and you put water over it, and then you get brewed coffee in the end. So I think part of that is just about finding something that's repeatable,
right?
Something that you can do and do again and be able to get results from.
Do you think this is too even includes finding a local shop that you just stop at? I mean, if you're talking about developing a relationship with coffee and making time for coffee, does a coffee shop fit into that?
Oh, for sure.
I mean, I know for me, as a coffee enthusiast at this point, it challenges me to look back at the way that I started out with coffee, even just a couple of years ago before I really, really started getting into it pretty deep. But yeah, man, I was going to Starbucks a lot, just before work, and didn't really think a whole lot of it. And then I started asking myself, like, is this the best experience that I could have? And so I made the jump to a nicer shop that was maybe a little bit out of the way from my office, but that just decision to go to a different shop that served better coffee started helping form my appreciation for what coffee can be. So I think, if you're getting started, maybe just ask yourself, are you stopping at the right place? Are you swinging through the local gas station, or are you, maybe going to a place that serves coffee more thoughtfully, that roasts their own coffee, even if that's available to you?
Man, I had a friend named Kyle, and he worked at the point in time that I was getting into coffee. He worked at a little coffee shop area that was inside of I don't want to say a florist. It was more of a garden place. So they sold flowers, and I think they also did some florist arrangements and stuff like that too. But at his little coffee bar station, he would brew something. I remember as it's getting close to summertime, and he would make iced Chemexes or iced V60s. Hmm. And I remember just, he would talk about this, this is a V60, this is a Chemex. And we would talk about brewing coffee together. He'd come over to the house, and I remember one time he brought some coffee, and I think he brought his V60 and a Clever coffee dripper. So he, wanted to brew up and said, this is a Clever coffee dripper. This is what it does. This is what makes it different from this device. You can keep all the coffee in there, and then at the very end, it all filters through the paper. So it's clean like a V60, but the brew is different. So again, this might even be too technical the way I'm talking to a beginner. However, these are kind of conversations that came about from, my friend that had worked at a shop.
You talk about this relationship you had with your friend and how that those conversations helped kind of spark you into thinking about, different ways of making coffee and things like that. In brewing coffee for folks in the office, like I do every day, I'm dealing with a lot of beginners, a lot of people who are just beginning their understanding about what coffee can taste like, what good coffee can taste like. And it's fun. It's really fun to see the light bulb go off for people when you see them make that transition from like, I'm just going to drink the whatever coffee's coming out of that machine in the corner, to, I think I'm going to go try some of Brian's coffee and see what that's about. And they come to you and they can tell you very specifically that there is a big difference there.
Right.
That shift for people, when you see them make that shift from this coffee is the same as all the other coffees to, oh, there's something better out there. How did you do that?
Have you gotten any of those texts when somebody's on vacation and they're like, Brian,
yeah,
Brian, I'm just drinking hotel coffee and I just want to be there drinking whatever it is you have. What do you have right now?
Yeah, one of my coworkers stayed home from work one day because it was his birthday, and he came in the next day. He was like, man, my birthday was awesome, but dude, I totally missed your coffee.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I guess
I've had that a couple of times. I have one coworker that he'll drink on occasion, and I think he does enjoy the majority of the things that we brew, and he kind of has his preferences, but he's a little less vocal about it. He's kind of, there are times where he just needs, some caffeine. And then I have my boss, and there's a lot of times he'll be like, that's a good one. And I'm still actually trying to pick his profile out, because he kind of bounces. Every time I think I got him pegged for something, then I'll make something else that I think works and it doesn't. Or anyway. Yeah. It's a different conversation, but I know what you mean.
No, it's really interesting too, because you talked about in some of the problems for a beginner, not even really knowing what you like in a coffee or trying to figure out what you enjoy.
Right.
And, as a coffee enthusiast, I've tried a lot of coffees. I've had some really outstanding coffees, and I know what my profile is. Like, I know what coffees I enjoy. And it really intrigues me to find somebody who's just coming into coffee for the first time, enjoying a coffee, a profile of coffee, or certain tastes of a coffee that I might not enjoy, but they love it. Like a coffee that is maybe more nutty, or something that is darker, or something that, has a little bit more earthiness to it. I'm a fruity, floral, kind of juicy kind of guy. And, it's interesting to see other people's perspective as they're getting started, how they really enjoy totally different flavors, totally different profiles of coffee. It's okay.
Right.
You know, you find what you like and start to develop that appreciation for what you prefer and what you don't prefer.
It's interesting. I was talking with one of the guys from Novel Coffee Roasters, and he was having a conversation with somebody that he was relaying this conversation to me. The person was saying, you know, they like a bold cup of coffee. And I guess what he kind of found out was that bold in that context didn't necessarily attribute to a dark roasted coffee.
Mm-hmm.
It attributed to something that packs a flavor that's very forward.
Right.
In the cup, whether that be a big chocolatey note or whether it doesn't matter what it is. It's something that it is big and noticeable in the cup.
Like a pronounced coffee or something.
A pronounced coffee, which is interesting to think about because you might automatically assume, oh gosh, they're not going to like anything that I have because all of mine are light to medium roasts. But you might come to find that there's a coffee that fits that person perfectly because it has a pronounced flavor in one way or another. I actually, kind of as a side note, but I feel like I have to say it, my mother-in-law, she has never once had any coffees that I've brewed up. And she'll always walk to, at our old, when we were in Cincinnati, she would always walk to Starbucks and get Starbucks instead of whatever I brewed. And I felt so awful about my brewing at that point. I'm like, ah, gosh, I must be making awful coffee. Right. Can I tell you something? They were visiting the other day, the last week, and I brewed some coffee up. And I gave it to Kristen, and her mom tried it, and she said it was good. And I was like, oh, wait, hold on. It was good? She's like, yeah. I said,
can I get that in writing?
I was like, she's like, can I get a cup? I'm like, are you kidding me right now?
Jackpot.
And I gave her a cup. So anyway, I just had to get that out.
Sweet. You
know, first time in like 3 years. So anyway, but in terms of, you know, tips for somebody, I feel like one thing that it is interesting to that person is that they want to learn something from every opportunity, or they should want to learn from every opportunity,
right?
Whether that be going to a shop and maybe just inquiring about how they're brewing that coffee or something like that, or where it's from, or looking at the tasting notes, possibly if they describe what the tasting notes is of the coffee of their day, you know, even if they're getting it on drip or something like that, or if they're brewing at home, taking notes on their coffee. Or if they're visiting with friends, just soaking up the information that somebody's telling them. I think that wanting to learn anything from any coffee opportunity is something that is going to be beneficial to the beginner. Because you might have experiences that are bad, experiences that are good, whether you're brewing on your own or not. But I don't feel like you're able to really learn from that if you're not somehow taking in the information and kind of understanding all the experiences that you're going through.
Yeah, it's almost like just being more mindful of your
right
experience. Being thoughtful right of it, you know, really just giving it more attention than maybe you had previously. And I like what you said there about even a bad coffee experience or what a lot of, you know, a lot of us Uber coffee nerds might poo-poo or look down on. You know, okay, maybe you are brewing up a grocery store coffee on a French press at home, you know, with a blade grinder or whatever. You brew that coffee, have an opinion about it. Do you like it? Do you not like it? Did you enjoy the experience of it? Was it fast enough for you? Do you need to consider changing anything? Do you think anything needs to be improved on? You know, even some experiences that a lot of people might not necessarily enjoy themselves personally, you know, you can take and learn something from that as well. Just getting started, you know, is there something that you want to change? Is there something you're not enjoying? Let me give you an example. I have a coworker who came up and he brews every day on his automatic machine at home. It's a flat bottom paper filter. And he was telling me, you know, he never really enjoyed the coffee that was being brewed in that coffee maker, and he wasn't sure why. And so he asked me, you know, why is that? Well, right off the bat, he's identifying that something there is not working, and so he's interested in fixing it. So if you're a beginner, look at what you're doing and get interested in potentially fixing it. So we talked about ratios, and we talked about the amount of water versus the amount of coffee. We talked about the water temperature of his coffee brewer and all sorts of other things. I recommended a different ratio to him. He went home and tried that. And after a little bit of tweaking, he ended up, you know, being able to produce a little bit better coffee at home. So big win, you know, just because he was interested enough, he was thoughtful enough about his experience, and he was looking to improve it maybe in some way or another.
I think something that's important about either taking notes or mental notes or whatever about your coffee experiences that is important as a beginner or being earlier in your experiences, you may not know how to vocalize what's wrong.
Right.
Kind of like the person you're just talking about. Like he may not necessarily have been able to explain to you. If somebody were to come up to me and they were to say that they keep making coffee and it tastes, it has like a really papery taste all the time. You know, every brew, it's really papery. I'll probably say, do you use a paper filter? To which I would assume they're going to say yes. And I'll say, do you rinse it beforehand?
Rinse it?
By keeping track of your experiences, that later on in your journey, you might find what it is that you weren't able to put into words about understanding what was going on in your brewing.
Yeah. And I think it's totally being willing to ask questions, finding a resource, first of all, that you trust and rely in, and bounce your questions, bounce your thoughts, be willing to go and verbalize in some way what you're experiencing, what you're feeling, what the experience of coffee is. That definitely is a good start in getting in stepping up your game. That was actually when I first bought my Hario kettle and V60 with the filters and everything else that came with it, all in one fell swoop. You know, I had to act like I was someone necessarily that I wasn't, but I said, you know, I'm buying this for a friend, and you know, I need to recommend to my friend what ratio to use. It's like, you know, okay, yeah, I felt a little silly asking some of these questions, but you know, a lot of the education that I got just from asking questions and being sort of courageous enough to maybe approach a professional at the time, you know, one of the baristas at our local shop, you know, I was able to get all that information that I needed just right there by just poking around and asking some questions.
And for some people that might be hopping on like home barista forums or something like that, or
maybe listening to this podcast.
Maybe it's listening to this podcast, or, you know, you could shoot us an email or talking to us on social media. I mean, Brian and I are both independently and through I Brew My Own Coffee on social media, and we get a lot of people who ask us those questions, and we like to try and troubleshoot. You know, for me, initially, it was I would ask Jamie Ferguson from the Coffee Adventures and or even Drew Moody. You know, I would try and figure out if I was having issues with brewing parameters in regards to something. You know, I might ask them what they're doing. And now the conversation, you know, that I'm having at my level is, you know, usually surrounding a water, but a water. And again, that's just something as a product of kind of moving forward. It is just knowing who to go to, or knowing where you trust to ask the questions that will help you grow. Because as we mentioned in the beginning, the part about being overstimulated, it's not necessarily a criticism. It's just that everyone in every site and every roaster's website or anything, everyone's got what they think is the standard, like the usual, the norm, how you should brew or how things should be done. And it's not, it's just the fact that there's so much information out there.
Right.
And there's so many directions that without focusing that and finding a place that you trust, or just focusing and just trying to stick with a limited set of parameters at a time, then those are the things that are going to help you grow the fastest.
Yeah, and let's focus on focus for just a minute. So I think one of the most practical tips that I could provide somebody getting started in the very beginning is focus on a single brew method, whatever that brew method is. focus on it. Spend time learning its ins and outs. Know what it's capable of doing. Focus on a single coffee. Focus on a single coffee or maybe a set of coffees from a single roaster. Preferably a place that might be local to you. But if not local, you know, if you rely on the internet or subscriptions or whatever, focus on a small subset of coffee at one time. Don't try to, you know, mix up and try a different coffee every day or a different coffee every brew or whatever you do. You know, get familiar with your gear. Get familiar with a specific coffee. And like you say, focus and try not to change a whole lot of variables if at all possible. Because I feel like as soon as you get something nailed down and that you enjoy something or that you're liking the way something tastes, it's going to go way further in helping you continue that journey. Whereas like every brew after brew, you're making coffee at home and it's all tasting bad. It's not very good. You're frustrated with it. And so you throw out the gear, you throw out the coffee or whatever it is, or you just stop focusing or thinking about coffee as a regular part of your day. You know, that's not where you want to be. So having a little bit of focus and really trying to keep things simple, I guess, is kind of the recommendation.
Tim Windebo, he had a brewing question and answer little thing on Periscope. We'll link the video in the show notes. And, you know, he even mentioned not to try a whole bunch of coffees, to just settle on a coffee and just try and dial it in. Because one thing that you'll lose if you try a whole lot of different coffees or you try a whole lot of different devices, you don't necessarily know if what you're doing is repeatable. And that's what we talked about a little bit ago, is finding something that's consistent and repeatable. And you want to know, not only understand the coffee to know if it's something that you like and what are the things you like about it and what are the things that you don't like about it. The same thing, you probably want to know about what that brewer is doing with that coffee. So when you do go to, let's just say, another coffee first, it's easier to probably get another coffee than it is for somebody to get another brewer.
Right.
Or makes more sense to. You want to get another coffee, you're drinking the coffee, the brewer is there, you have it, right? So when you're doing that, when you're making that coffee, you can comparatively see, what's it doing different?
Yeah,
do you like what's happening that's different?
Exactly. And you can change and tweak a few things, keep as many variables as possible under control so that you can figure out, okay, well, when I grind at this setting, it changes the taste in this way. When I, you know, try this ratio, it changes the taste in that way. And you know, you can start to develop a repeatable routine.
Yeah, in terms of getting back to like the principle of what we're talking about, finding balance and making time and developing a routine, we understand that at this level, what you are struggling with a lot of times is finding the time to make coffee. So, and if you're still coming out of an element of convenience,
yeah,
then you want to find something that isn't very fussy. So you don't want a ton of random gear laying all around and all these procedures. You want something that's consistent. You want something that is going to be convenient, but you want to make sure that it's something that is going to fit within the time that you have. You don't want something that is going to continue to mess up time and time again. You're going to want to find something that you can refine and make it, you know, something that's going to take a very small amount of time. Because once you have and you know how much time it's going to take, it might be easier for you to find more times to take opportunities for that.
Honestly, I think cold brew is one of the most convenient things for people.
Convenient. Oh, man, because like half our listeners now aren't going to listen because you just mentioned cold brew.
It's, no, dude, I know.
It's fall. It's fall now.
No, that's totally true. It's
you
still
can't talk about cold brew.
I live in Phoenix, so.
What about pumpkin cold brew?
pumpkin spice cold brew. But no, you know, for when the weather permits, you know, it's still convenient because it's basically just percolating in your fridge all evening long. And all you got to do is filter it out in the morning and you got just a grab and go thing ready to go. If you can keep it simple and balance that with developing an interesting coffee, really developing just a voice, I think is one of the biggest things. Know what you like, know what you don't like, and be able to communicate that in some way. I think that's some good practical advice for somebody getting started.
So that's going to be our wrap up here for finding balance in beginners. And again, we're having to sort of think in a different mindset too, because now Brian and I both fit into the category we're talking about next, which is the coffee enthusiast.
We're going to step on our own toes so big in the next episode.
So again, the next episode, we're going to talk about coffee enthusiasts and finding balance. And this one, it's going to be real. Okay. Just saying.
It's going to be raw.
Because there's a lot of things.
There's going to be crying and there's going to.
Hopefully not. But again, as we get further, I think there are definitely times where we can let coffee get in the way of life. And that's not balanced. So again, I'm not going to get into that right now. We'll save that for the next episode. So for this next week, for the hashtag IBMOC talk, if you didn't know, on social media, Twitter or on Instagram, if you want to talk with us, a lot of times we just suggest people use the hashtag IBMOC talk. And that way we can see that come up. And questions that I would throw out for this coming week would be, does what we're talking about right now describe you? You know, are you kind of in the stage looking for balance? And what issues do you have as a beginner? Or what tips do you have for someone who is a beginner? And then what resources or outlets have helped you along the way? So also, as we continue and before we get to the other casts, if you want to go ahead and even, you know, bring up stuff like what questions you might have or what problems do you see for the enthusiast or for the professional in terms of balance or tips for overcoming on the back end. So again, if you want to interact with us, please hashtag IBMOC talk on social media channels.
Well, that's about it for this episode. Thanks everybody for listening. We are on Instagram at I Brew My Own Coffee. We're on Twitter at Brew My Own Coffee. You can shoot us an email if you go to our website at ibrewmyowncoffee.com and just click the contact us link at the top of the page. If you haven't already reviewed us on iTunes, we'd love it if you'd drop over there and tell everybody how you feel about this podcast. We'd really appreciate that. Definitely thanks to everybody for listening along, whether you're a beginner, whether you're an enthusiast, or whether you're a coffee professional. Let's not forget, guys, it's not just coffee.
All right, guys. Good night.
All right. Good night.
So, Brian, I want to feel out your profile of coffee drinker. So, I got this link I want to send you. Right. You have that link,
yeah,
right? So this is, was it Van Hoyt?
Van Hoyt.
I'm pretty sure they have K-Cups, FYI.
Yes.
You're one of those early people. So
your favorite chocolate
So we
is...
have this link where they ask you a couple questions to figure out your coffee profile.
I'm so
we'll go through these.
Milk chocolate, definitely.
So you have the option of what, dark chocolate, milk chocolate, or white chocolate?
Oh, man, your favorite wine. I'm not a big whiner.
Yeah, you sure sound like it to me.
Oh, burn. Let's say. I just like the word supple, so I'm going to pick a supple Merlot. Your favorite steak? Well, obviously, medium rare. On your morning toast, you prefer... Oh, that's such a toss-up. Hazelnut spread or jam? Oh, man. I'm going to go jam. Jam's my jam. When you have cheese for a snack, you pair it with crackers or grapes. I'll say crackers.
I've never once paired cheese with a grape.
No, I haven't either. I just squirt the spray cheese right into my mouth. That's all I do.
Oh, I haven't had that in a while. Whenever the last time I did have it, I think I got the knockoff. I didn't even the cheese whiz. I got the knockoff. That stuff's gross.
For dessert, you'd indulge in a lemon meringue pie, a chocolate mousse. I'll pick chocolate mousse. See, now I know what they're going to suggest. You are a chocolatey, sweet, earthy, whatever.
What's it say?
Velvety and woodsy.
Ooh. Velvety and woodsy. What's that say?
These coffees feature both body and soft satin mouthfeel. They offer a savory experience that puts together the comforting flavors of cocoa, spices, and lightly toasted bread. This harmonious amalgam pleases classical tastes
I feel like that describes how you've been liking your Kenyans this profile, this season. Mine is velvety and fruity.
Velvety and fruity.
These well-balanced coffees showcase a supple body with the perfect harmony between sweetness and tartness. With flavors of berries and citrus and floral notes in the aroma, these coffees suggest a lively composition in every cup and a warm brightness on the palate of those who enjoy a fine roast.
Oh, man.
We got to suggest this for everybody else. You guys, people got to take this.
We're going to drop this in the show notes.